All right, so I want to say first off that the thing I learned from this episode that's most important to me is that Vince is lactose intolerant, just like me.
That's important.
Yeah. But I would never put soy milk in eggs.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Drama is not a great chef. Or maybe he is, and maybe I'm wrong.
I think he is. I mean, if they're all, like, if they're, they want him to cook.
Yeah, that's true. They have so much money. They could definitely have a chef.
Yeah.
There's no reason to have him doing that if he's not good at it. Although, I guess they let him do a lot of things without telling him he's not good at them. Oh, no, like, they tell him. They're just like, oh, drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well,
welcome to Podtourage.
This is Podtourage. I'm Emily.
And I'm Joe.
Today we'll be talking about the second episode of Entourage, of the first season of Entourage, which is called The Review.
The Review.
The Review, which is just like The Critic by Mel Brooks, in that it's also about what someone thinks about a movie.
Specifically head on.
Specifically head on. That's what that movie was about. We have a guest in the studio today.
I guess he's kind of a guest. I mean, we...
He's kind of a host of the show, really.
Are you guys going to let me know when I can talk?
No.
Okay, well, no.
You just have to be with...
Is this it?
Yeah, this is it. Yeah, you can talk now. This is great. Come on. Come on in. This is our good friend, Josh Soroka.
Hey, guys.
Famous Hollywood...
Wait, how did you say my last name?
Is it not that?
I don't know. I couldn't... I feel like you do what I do when I don't know how to say something and kind of like just trail off at the end. Which is fair.
I said Sirok.
It was. I think it was right. No, that was right. Sirokach. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
But thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Never listened to this back and just assumed that I got it right.
No one. Time. No one in New York
I've known
gets
you for so long.
Yes, but no one really. Like, when do we? Unless you have a really.
Yeah. When do I have to say your last name?
Exactly. Unless you have a highly pronounceable or cool last name, much like yourself. Actually, both of you guys have great last names.
Yeah, people, well, and also everyone in the world is named Emily.
Well, yeah, but that's not... So, everyone's last name's Emily?
No, everyone's first name is Emily, so you have to refer to Emily's by their full name.
That's true. My phone is littered with Emily's.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you for having me on. What is this?
I almost said glad to be here. I don't know why. I was like, glad to be here.
That Canadian hospitality.
No, thank you for having me on. So this is Podtourage. This is... We're doing a recap... podcast. The people were demanding a recap podcast of Entourage right now in 2018, and so that's what we're doing.
Okay, I love that. I'm a little hurt that you didn't go with my name, because I'm only now learning that it's what's Podtourage, which
Podtourage.
I do like.
Entourage.
I do like.
What do you want to call it? Entourage cast?
No. What do you want?
If you look through our emails, which I know is...
far too many.
I had initially... I think 2 or 3 years ago, this may have been just Joe, actually. I'm not sure if you were on this one, Emily. We should start a podcast called Entromage, an homage to Entourage. But now that I'm saying out loud, I think maybe Podtourage is better.
You know, I don't know. I feel like every time I hear Podtourage, I think, is that the right name? But it'll grow. I think it'll grow on all of us as...
Yeah.
Yes. It's also kind of rude to come on and be like, hey, guys, let's change the name of this show.
Entourage. Right away.
Just getting stages of this. I mean, we haven't released... an episode yet.
Also, and I'm the first guest, right?
And you're our first guest.
The godfather of Podtourage.
That's right.
Thank you very much. Very excited. Big time, long time fan of Entourage. Did you guys talk about how we went to go see the movie together?
A little bit, but lightly. No. We didn't talk about... I think we said that we went to see the movie together.
In Queens, that was the big...
Yeah, where we live. This podcast coming to you live from Queens. Well, not live, but from Queens.
Got it. Yeah. Live to tape.
I mean, right now it's live, but it won't be later.
Yeah.
Live to tape.
Did we like introduce you properly for this?
My name.
Just
Google me if you're wondering who I am, or I'm sure on the website. Where will this be? Like on the internet, right?
Think so.
Yes.
Okay, so you would probably have like a bio, like Josh Rokach. Although I guess I don't really have any like credits. I was on Conan.
Well, you're a writer.
You have lots of credits.
Oh right. Yes. Yeah, I am a writer.
Yeah.
What do you write?
Oh, I write for Decider.com, which is a pop culture website. And I had a TV pilot that you did not see because it did not air, but Fox did shoot it.
It exists.
What was that called?
It was called Semi-Charmed Life. You can also Google that.
If you, if anybody listening wants a copy of Semi-Charmed Life, just email me and I will send you over a copy because I happen to have one.
Yes.
Did you hack Josh's computer?
No, I probably sent it to him legally, but I don't really know if that's allowed.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. I mean,
it actually, honestly, probably doesn't.
Oh, sorry.
No.
I was going to just catch Josh up on the offer that I made yesterday that, or last episode, on the offer that I made last episode that if anyone wants to watch Entourage, Joe will mail them his DVDs.
Correct. Yes.
What happened to VHS copies? I know you had a lot of those that you recorded off
HBO. I don't think they made... Oh, well, yeah, I recorded my own.
Yes.
Yeah. They never officially released VHS.
Yeah, you can't rent those out.
Yeah.
Because they have other HBO shows on them, right? So you don't want to lose all those Arliss episodes.
I got Arliss. Yeah, I got Mind of the Married Man.
Who was that?
It's Mike Binder.
I don't know that one.
Most people, people don't. I think it was like pre Entourage, where they were trying like a racy adult comedy, and it didn't work out.
And then like
the
post
being the time periods that we define our lives by, right?
Pre-Entourage and post-Entourage. Post-Entourage was the how to make it in America era too. That also didn't really.
Yes.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. We're talking about that show too as well. This episode. Correct?
Oh yeah, we're gonna dive deep into that one.
Pretty sure one of my college professors was on How to Make It in America.
Was he the eponymous America? I love that. I thought that joke was so funny.
You,
that couldn't get
you
out.
Liked that joke so much you couldn't say it.
Yeah.
But what's he? Okay. Played America.
Ah, Lady Liberty.
That's all I'm going to say about that. All right. So,
I'm curious. How did you get started watching Entourage?
That's a great question. I think, so what year would that have been? 2005? Like four?
2004 was the first season. Yes. Yeah.
I was in college. So, I mean, So, I've rewatched the show numerous times, which is kind of sad. But in 2004, and as a 20-year-old, like, Entourage was a big deal. It was also, like, kind of new, like, in terms of, like, I could relate as an adult for the first time to something I was watching on TV. Not that my life was like Entourage, but, like, more the wish fulfillment. Like, Entourage is a show that in the mid 2000s, as a 20-year-old, you were like in on. Now, as someone who's in their 30s, like it's okay to like kind of like it, but if you meet someone now who loves Entourage, that's probably not a great sign for them if they like are obsessed with it. Other than the people
Than the people at this table.
Yeah, but I feel like you guys like it in a tongue-in-cheek manner.
Yeah, I certainly do.
I don't.
Joe loves the show without irony.
I mean, I do like Entourage, but it's just, it doesn't hold up.
It's a little, listen, I don't want to step out on a limb here. It's a little misogynistic.
Okay, now that I didn't see.
It's a little racist. It's a little transphobic, definitely homophobic.
Okay, the show with Adrian Grenier we're talking about, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, hey, we all have opinions, and I will never... Ever.
I mean, I said I was going out on a limb. I know it sounds crazy to say it, but coming from a perspective of, I don't know, maybe just being a little older now, wiser. There's little hints of that. Yeah,
I just meant because of the fashion and the like movies grossing as much. Like that's why it's kind of out of date. I didn't see any of the things you're talking about.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
I guess I could watch it again.
You might really catch it if you really watch. If you like, you'll have to pay pretty close attention.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, what do you think about this?
I based my whole life off Entourage, so, I mean, if you're saying that it is, you know, inappropriate or, you know, offensive against women, you know, I mean, you're saying that about me.
Well, you base your whole life, like, you know how Sex and the City, another HBO show?
Which I base my whole life off of, which is why I'm drinking this massive martini right now.
I noticed that, by the way. That is...
My whole house is a martini.
Yeah. who are you? Cause I know, like, you always say, Emily, that you're such a Samantha. Joe, you base your life off Entourage. Who are you in the Entourage verse?
Oh, I'm a Vinny.
Wait, what?
Why are you laughing?
Oh, wait, for real?
I'm a Vince, yeah. I'm a Vinny Chase.
I'm really a Samantha Miranda hybrid. I just want to clarify.
Oh, sorry.
and Carrie. I'm all of them. I'm every woman. It's all in me.
What do you mean? Can you speak on that?
No.
Gotcha. Okay.
Is there anything else we need to cover before we get into our review? Or our recap?
I don't think so. I mean, I guess... Oh, we could just, like, recap what this show is exactly, I guess, if somebody's actually listening.
Yeah,
like,
on the off chance.
Are we on right now? Is this the podcast, by the way?
Oh, yeah, this is... We're live.
All right. Just double checking.
We are recording.
Yes. Cool.
Yeah, so basically what this show is that Emily and I are going to be watching all 96 episodes of Entourage, available on HBO Go and Amazon Prime.
We like that plug. Good job.
Okay. Hey, Amazon baby, give me that money.
We're gunning for a sponsorship.
Well, you guys said you had ads, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm making ads for Amazon.
So. Oh, so that's a little different than having ads. You're making ads for Amazon.
Right.
So yes. You were not being monetarily...
No, no.
Okay.
Yeah, wait, is Amazon paying you for that?
No, or? No, no. No.
Do you have one right now to share with us?
Jack-o'-lanterns, now available at Amazon.com.
Oh, that's good.
And yeah, we're watching all 96 episodes of Entourage. We're having guests. Josh is a very special guest because he'll probably be coming back a lot.
Well, see, you know how this goes.
He's promised to be back on pretty much every episode.
I did say that was a possibility. I do love Entourage. Love you guys. Not in that order. But, you know.
Oh, thanks.
Well, the only... Because I know we had kicked around this idea before, and I was a little hesitant. And the only not... It had nothing to do with you guys or Entourage, as previously stated, which are the two biggest loves of my life. But just there are so many podcasts out there, I would feel, and I'd feel kind of guilty being like, "Well, here's another one." And I kind of liked being like the guy who doesn't have a podcast, because now it's kind of punk rock. It's kind of the Vinny Chase thing to do to not have a podcast.
Vinny Chase is punk rock.
Yes, to both those things, those questions. Yes, Vinny Chase is punk rock. Have you seen Queens Boulevard? And number two, what would you say? Oh, yeah, having a podcast is... Or not having a podcast is punk rock.
No.
Oh, all right, well...
I disagree.
How so?
Because... Not that many... I mean, in the grand scheme of things, not many people have a podcast. Like,
out of the... All the people in the world, you mean?
Yeah.
That is correct.
Also, Josh, I keep getting these emails. Part of why we're doing this is the number of fans that have emailed me saying, Emily... When are we going to get that Entourage podcast? The people demand.
Oh, so people have been emailing you about this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Huh.
I don't know how they got my name.
Could you forward me some of these emails? I'd love to check them out. I'll do it right now. Okay.
Emily is going into her phone and pulling up her emails. I have watched the full series of Entourage probably about two or three times now. Emily has not watched the full series.
I have not seen most episodes.
Yeah, she's seen...
Wait, really?
Yeah, I've seen the first episode, the last episode, the parts with Mandy Moore. I've read descriptions.
Oh, yes. I want to be back for those episodes.
Of the whole... Yeah, we're so excited to to the Mandy Moore section of the show.
Well, wait, what do you... I also have rewatched this show probably most recently. It was like maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And the Mandy Moore episodes are great. I also think the first season was pretty good. What is peak Entourage? Aquaman 2, right?
Yes.
I think, yeah. Well, Aquaman 2.
Yeah.
Aquaman 1.
Oh, well, yeah. And then, because he says no to Aquaman 2. So that whole, that whole Aquaman era.
Yeah. Okay. I think the Aquaman era is, like, huge. That, like, from Sundance to, you know, the Aquaman, the end of that season, I think.
I've been to Sundance.
What?
I've been to Sundance. Just wanted to. I think I have to what was legally.
What was that for? A script?
Yeah, I was. I wasn't just bringing it up to once again talk about my own career, which is kind of what it sounds like I'm doing in the first 10 minutes of this. But yeah, I've been to the dance, so to say.
Okay.
Is that what they call it there?
Yeah, that's what everyone calls it there. That's how they know if you're an outsider or not.
Emily's still on her phone.
Yeah, wait. Did you really get? I was obviously kidding. I didn't think.
I was just looking for one of those emails. I forwarded it to you.
Did you? Here, you guys continue to talk. I'm going to check this out.
I forwarded you a very real email that I received from a fan.
So we could get into the episode while we're looking for these emails from the fans.
Yeah, if you want to hear more about Josh's time at Sundance, he wrote about it extensively on the internet, I think.
Oh, actually, I honestly just did.
No, I know.
Oh, you saw that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Oh, you're looking at the very
I'm looking at the email. Please, Emily, please, we need our on... Oh, this fan is pretty clever because they spell entourage with the O-U-R... capitalized, so like our entourage.
Wow,
podcast
sounds like a pretty smart fan.
It also kind of looks like it was typed by a serial killer with a lot of fun capitalization choices.
Listen, these are threatening emails I've been getting.
So listen to this podcast or die.
Yep. So that's why we're doing it. I know that you were concerned about the need for another podcast in this world, and the answer is this is incredibly necessary. And thank you, really, for helping me do this. And Joe, and yourself, because you're in on this too. They have implicated you in the emails.
Oh, well, that is very nice, and
which is why you're co-hosting the show going forward.
Well, for this episode, I am here, and I am giving it my all.
We'll see.
Okay.
Where were we? All right, so episode 2 of Entourage is called The Review, and it's directed by Julian Farrino.
Love his work.
Yeah, oh, he's Julian a big deal.
Julian
Farrino. He's directed a couple other episodes. He is also directed. He's gone on to direct How to Make It in America. Also on HBO.
Oh, yeah, we did Entourage Light
and Ballers. Also,
oh,
Entourage Light,
Entourage Heavy.
That's better. Yeah.
And then the episode is written by Doug Ellen, the creator.
Did he do all the first?
I don't know.
No, it looks like the next episode is written by Larry Charles. Not to look ahead, but...
Okay.
So this episode starts off, and Turtle jumps out of the Hummer, which I guess he's too short for, his bright yellow Hummer, his Bumblebee of Transformers series.
Yeah, he looks ridiculous driving the Hummer, and then the way that he exits it, like he looks like a little baby.
Yeah. Like you noted that, and then when I watched it again, I was like, yeah, you're right.
So he's way too excited to be jumping out of that.
Yeah.
Okay, I know you guys have only been, we're only two sentences in, but I am going to stop right there because I don't think we should ever really make fun of Turtle on the show.
What?
Because he's the heart of the series. And I 100% unironically mean that. Like, the show, without him, and to an extent, Drama, the show would not exist. It wouldn't have lasted as long as it did. He's the best part of the series. He's the only person I would actually hang out with in that group. That's not true. Vinny and like Ian, all those guys would be like once a month friend. Like I'd go, and also because they were famous, I'd want, obviously they'd be fun to hang out with. But Turtle, like, he could be a real friend. I would be okay hanging out with Turtle in real life.
Wow, I feel almost entirely the opposite, at least based on these first two episodes.
Yeah.
I mean,
wait, both of you?
He's the most, I think he's the most scummy guy on the show so far.
Wait, you've seen the rest of the series, though.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking what we've gone through so far.
Him getting out of the car is so based on him getting out of the car.
Yesterday's episode, and what we've already watched today's episode, we just haven't told the listener about it yet. So, in the pilot, he's like, I'm on ass patrol. Like, that's his whole thing, is talking about
that's him just
women.
Joshing.
Yeah. And he's trying to hook up Eve, like getting blowjobs
constantly. He's all about
comparatively. So like compared to Vinny, E, Piven.
Well, I mean, Piven's a whole other
right
ballpark.
But I'm just saying, Turtle comparatively not bad.
Who was that? Was that my Alexa?
Yeah, I asked her to come on to get her opinion on it. And she also actually kind of agreed with me about Turtle being the best.
That seems unlikely. Yeah. I don't think any woman could watch those two episodes and be like, you know who's cool? Turtle.
Well, I don't think any woman would want, or man would want to sleep with any of those. Well, I guess maybe, I think people would actually still want to sleep with Vinny, because he's an up-and-coming superstar.
Oh, yeah. Tons of people would.
Yeah. Wait, what's Head On about? Am I jumping ahead to...
That's actually an interesting question. I was thinking about that before, because they didn't really go into any of that in the first episode. True. And I was literally thinking about this earlier today. I was like, Head On, like Jessica Alba and Vinny Chase, but there's no details about what the movie's about. It could be anything. It could be an action movie. It could be a comedy.
That's funny. I guess that's true. I feel like maybe they slipped it in and I missed it, but I don't think it's in there.
Yeah, I don't either.
There's a poster in the first episode.
Yeah. Which is the most, like, vague poster. It's, like, two headshots.
Right. It's just Vinny's face and Jessica Alba, more of a full-body shot, I feel like.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Probably. Because... Yeah, that makes sense.
Of course.
What's the, like, surfing movie that she did with Paul Walker? Because I feel it would be something like that, but yeah. More, like, teen action and less water would be head-on. And, like, you know, yeah. Like, it's like some of those, like, are, like, an Urban Legends, but not classified as a horror movie. Like, those, like, early... Late 90s, early 2000 teen movies that they had. That's what it kind of feels like.
Yeah.
And Vinny was doing the Freddie Prinze Jr. role. But yeah. More... But I don't think it would have been like a comedy.
I assumed it was an action movie.
I did too. I don't think it would be like a She's All That. Vinny doesn't have those chops.
Right.
Well, if you don't. No, I mean...
Although, real Adrian Grenier, Drive Me Crazy, come on.
Yeah. Oh, he's very good in that.
Yeah.
Right? Is that the prevailing opinion?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
I mean, that's
Adrian Grenier, great. Top notch.
I think that's the only thing he had done before that was like of any, like that's what people knew him from. It was like, oh, he's so good in this that he gets Entourage.
But I actually recently wrote about that movie because it just came on Hulu whenever I wrote about it, something like 2 months ago. But like it's legit good in terms of teen movies. I think it gets overlooked with other teen movies because people just kind of think it's bad and the Rotten Tomatoes score is bad. But him and Melissa Joan Hart, chemistry for days. No. I'll say that.
Interesting. Okay. I'll revisit it. That'll be another mini-sode. We'll watch that.
We'll watch a two-hour movie. Probably an hour and a half.
We'll check the tapes.
So Turtle gets out of the car, and then we cut into the kitchen. Drama's cooking up quite a breakfast.
Arnold the dog is tamed now.
Oh, that's true, yes. Yeah. The dog from the first episode that they couldn't tame.
Just a regular old happy dog.
Somebody was able to, you know, control this thing out of nowhere.
Which speaks to the brilliance of these men individually.
Yeah.
Surely it was one of them doing a great job.
I think, because it was riding with Turtle, I would probably say Turtle took, and he, Turtle's the one who wanted
That's
the dog
true,
in the
you
first
know.
Place.
Well, and he had the most personal contact with the dog because he put the Ranger's
that's
gear
true.
On.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's
maybe
true.
He like bonded.
Yeah.
Wow. They really, I've said it before, I'll say it again. A show with layers.
Yeah. It went that went from a vicious attack to just a playful romp.
They got it together. A playful romp.
Yeah. So then we cut into the kitchen where Drama's cooking up and he's practicing his vagina monologues lines because he's got a class later that night with David Faustino and they're both going to do lines from the vagina monologues.
I can just see this in the writer's room. Like, what if Drama, a man, is doing a monologue from vagina monologues?
Yeah, they managed to slip in not just a certain, I don't even know what to call that. Is that misogyny? Is it homophobia? Is it just sort of 2004 in a nutshell? And they get a transphobic joke in there too before he serves the eggs. I thought you already went through your gender. Right.
Yeah, is that What's was that whatever they at say. All was it misogynistic? Was it homophobic? Just the not the joke, the just vagina monologues bit.
Yeah, I guess, general. Is it funny?
They're playing it for a laugh, obviously.
Yeah.
Because it's Drama, and he's like an alpha male.
It is what it is. You know, it's very Entourage. It is.
It's
what makes Entourage the laugh out loud comedy.
Yeah, Entourage exists in the fringes of what's right and wrong. And
yeah,
that, right,
they're
here
really
we see it.
Living on the edge. That's mm-hmm. why their theme song is so.
I listened to that on the way over here to get myself in the mood.
Did you?
Which I also listened to get myself in the mood for other things.
Nice.
Running.
Yeah.
Usually.
Right.
Running, work, sex.
Yeah. Going to bed.
Okay.
Going
who
to sleep.
Among us hasn't listened to the Entourage theme song before a tryst?
It's the only song on my like making love playlist. It's I insist that we just put it on loop.
Is that what it's called? Making love?
Yeah, my Making Love playlist.
There's a Making Love playlist and then a playlist for fucking. Okay. I thought.
Which is also just the Entourage theme song.
I asked if there would be cursing on this podcast. You know my policy on that.
I'm so sorry.
You're for it?
Yeah.
But you're cool with the Drama transphobic jokes.
I never said that.
Oh, okay.
But it was very 2004.
Can we quote you on that?
You cannot quote me on that.
Josh Sirokek says.
You don't even know my last name.
I did it again. I'm so sorry. Sirkutch.
In the world of Entourage, you're Billy.
What?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means because I haven't seen nearly enough of the show.
It's not a compliment. Actually, I like later seasons, Billy, but that's not what we're talking about. Sorry. Continue, Joe.
Which one's Billy?
So remember when we're talking about Aquaman? Before that, he comes in. He was the director of Queens Boulevard, and him and E get into an argument. And he's also the director behind and writer behind Medellin.
Okay.
He's the one who kind of torpedoes Vince's career. But he has a whole arc.
Well, I am planning to torpedo both of your careers with this podcast. So.
I mean, you can't torpedo something that's already on the ground, baby.
I assumed that would be your number one reservation about...
That was not it at all, no.
possible damage to your reputation.
No, what reputation?
Anyway, they slip in a transphobic joke before breakfast. I find out that Vinny and I are the same person because we're both lactose intolerant.
Is he, though? That's just something drama
the
says.
Same person.
No, not that. I'm questioning if he really is lactose intolerant. That's just drama saying you don't process dairy well. Mm-hmm. Right? Is that what he says?
Vinny, you're lactose intolerant.
Yeah. I would prefer to hear from the doctor.
They all live in that house together.
They do. They do know each other's
schedules.
They
know what's happening when he's eating mozzarella.
Yeah. I do. You guys were talking about this earlier. I do think drama is a good chef. I think that's throughout the series, it's kind of.
Well, interesting fact that I found out about the pilot was that there was supposed to be another character that was just a personal chef for the crew.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Cal. And they cut it just gave drama all the lines that
Cal would have had?
Yeah.
Wow. Scandalous.
So what you're saying is Donnie Wahlberg, maybe not a great chef?
Yeah.
That is probably where that came from.
So then E walks in Turtle walks in with the paper.
Yeah.
And gives it to E, and E reads Vince a completely terrible negative review of his performance in Head On.
Yeah.
E seems to like not
terrible.
Care.
They called you a thespian.
Yeah, he has no idea what he's talking about.
Low hanging fruit on that joke.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and E's like, ooh, bad review, don't read it.
Yeah.
And Vinny is...
To be fair, that is not a great... He's not being a very good friend or a very good manager with that. Although, to be fair, he's new to the job.
Yeah, right. I feel like in this episode, they revealed that he's really his manager. Because in the last episode, it really just seemed like he was his script-reading buddy.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Like, in this one, we find out he's being paid as much as Ari's dog walker.
$4,000, right?
$4,000 a month. $48,000 a year, which is more than I've made in most desk jobs that I've had.
And he's living with Vinny Chase?
Just living... And he's got, presumably, housing included in that.
Yeah, but he still, like, drives a pretty crappy car. Like, it's not a great deal, but it's better than, I guess, managing a Sbarro's, which is what he was doing in Queens,
yeah,
right?
Night manager.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't like those hours. Has to deal with all the denizens of Queens at night. Wait, Sbarro's isn't open 24/7, so what does he even do?
Well, it was probably, like, the 6 to 10 shift.
Yeah.
He's only working 4 hours?
I think so.
It's probably 2 to 10.
Maybe he bakes the bread.
Is that the night manager shift? I mean, Sbarro's isn't open.
That's what I...
What time do they open? Like 10?
What's the one in Times Square?
That's
probably
different,
earlier.
Though, because it's Times Square.
Yeah, they probably open in the morning.
In Queens, who's going to the Queens Sbarro at 10 a.m.?
Who's going to the Queens Sbarro at all?
I think that a lot of people would be going to the Queens Sbarro at 10, if they open at 10.
To do what? To eat pizza?
Yeah.
No. Have some respect for your town, man.
Hey, man.
You're a Queens boy.
I've seen what people do in Queens.
Yeah, eat at Applebee's on a regular basis.
Yeah, because Applebee's is a fine establishment.
Yeah. Also seeking sponsorship from Applebee's.
That's where I was going.
We love Applebee's.
This podcast brought to you by Applebee's. Thank you.
Eating good?
Please.
In your neighborhood?
We'd like.
I put a question mark on that? Applebee's.
We would take like a $50 gift certificate to Applebee's. I would be delighted with that if they were somehow delighted by this.
They're not open to people using them as a sponsorship, but let's just say.
Yeah.
Have you tried?
Oh, yeah.
You've been trying.
Sure. kind of, but that's too long of a story for this Entourage podcast. Well, wait till your Applebee's podcast. When are we doing that? That's tomorrow, right?
It's a mini-sode, yeah.
Oh, it's a mini-sode?
Yeah, that's a mini-sode.
The joys of Applebee's.
Yeah. Our Applebee's review podcast. I would actually... Yeah. Oh. Mm.
That sounds delicious.
No.
It's an offshoot. Mm. Once we're famous from this podcast, that'll be our next one.
Yes, once we become famous for that, I will do your Applebee's podcast.
Just one podcast. Just like 100 episodes of just going to Applebee's.
Yeah. Nothing's different. We just say that we went to Applebee's, we say what we ate, and we say that it was great.
Yeah.
Unless it wasn't. Ooh.
No, that's impossible.
Places should do sponsored podcasts like that, though. Why don't they? Or do they? And I just don't listen to them because I'm out on podcasts and I think they're all dumb except this one.
Wow.
Coming for the podcast. Yeah.
I said except this one.
I mean, the concept of the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I'm on record as being anti-podcasts.
Yeah. And yet here you are. Thanks for podcasts. Gracing us with your presence.
Thank you. Are we done?
No. All right. Oh, so breakfast happens.
Oh, yeah. We're not even... Hey,
we're literally...
V's had a terrible review. V. So, you know what I mean.
Yeah. So E reads a terrible review to Vince. Vince doesn't really know what to make of it. He kind of shuts down a little bit. And then they talk about how they... have to go to Ari's office.
Yeah. Can I note that once again, people read things to Vince, proving once again my theory that Vince can't read?
Oh, that actually very well indeed might be true.
Yeah. You never see him and reading in the same room. That's what I'll say.
That's true. Because in that first episode, he's like holding the script and he's got it like halfway open.
He never reads. Yeah, he's always like just like, oh, I got tired.
Yeah.
You know... People say Adrian Grenier is not a great actor on this show. That's like
who
kind
says
of the
that?
Society.
I'll fight them.
Well, because I kind of disagree. It's that you know that thing where people don't like Nickelback, and so if you don't have an opinion of Nickelback, you
assume you don't like them.
Yes,
even though Silver Side Up was a great album.
I forgot they're Canada's own. So I don't
that
I don't
listened
hate Nickelback
to a lot at a certain point of my life.
I liked Nickelback. I still like Nickelback. I don't hate them.
No?
I don't know if that's a Nickelback song.
It is.
Can you give me a little bit more of it?
No, I can't. Okay. I'm too sick. I realized I wasn't going to be able to make it sound right.
No problem.
I'll play it for you later.
But it's the same thing. Where if you don't have an opinion, you take the society. The majority of what society says. And that's kind of the thing what's happening, or what happened with Adrian Grenier in Entourage. He's not that bad. In fact, I think he's very passable.
I think it's intentional. I thought it was like an acting choice that he was going to play somebody who would act, like who is like that kind of a person, who's like a bad actor who just gets by on their looks. And he's like doing that on purpose.
Seeing the show, I cannot imagine anyone put that much forethought into it, but I mean, maybe that
this
would be
a show of many layers. I think you're underestimating.
Yeah. I think you guys are overestimating
just how much thought that was put into this show.
All I'm saying is, I'm on the Grenier train.
Okay,
yeah. I mean, listen, I think we're all on the Grenier train. Choo choo.
Joe, did you chew on this one? Could you chew? All right, thank you.
Trains usually choo choo, but
it's if you're because that's not how trains go.
Yeah.
They go choo choo.
Yeah.
Choo choo. Right. There you go. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Cool.
So the boys go to Ari's office. They walk in like they're hot shit. And then as they're walking in, they walk by Justine Chapin? Chapin? Mm-hmm. Is that her name?
Yeah.
I just know her as Justine.
Justine.
Leighton Meester.
Leighton Meester?
Leighton Meester,
yeah. From, what is she? Oh,
Gossip
Gilmore.
Girl.
Gossip Girl.
I thought it was Gilmore Girls.
No, it's Gossip Girl.
Oh, Gossip Girl? Okay.
Yeah. And ABC new show, Single Parents, Wednesdays at 8:30 on ABC. Actually, I'm not sure about the time. You can just catch it on Hulu.
You'll catch it on Hulu.
And I haven't seen it, so I don't know. It's probably not good.
This episode brought to you by Single Parents.
Then it is very good, and I do like it. Stars Taryn Killam from SNL and others.
Ooh.
Single Parents. ABC.
So they walk by and she's dressed like kind of like a Britney Spears type of character, and she's got like the midriff showing because every woman in the show has their midriff showing.
Literally no woman gets to cover her belly in this.
Yeah. I mean, if you're on Entourage and you're just showing your midriff, good job contract-wise.
Yeah, I guess.
Because almost everyone's naked is what I was... You looked puzzled by that
Not
comment?
Yet, but soon. that.
No, I get it. I think she, I mean, I think she got a couple of lines out of this too, so they wanted to like make her not just one of the throwaway women.
Well, no, she was, I mean, very clearly the upper, it was, they were playing off the whole Britney Spears thing.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. 2004. I'm so glad that the bottoms of shirts have since descended and eyebrows have been allowed to grow back.
Wait, what was going on with eyebrows?
No, oh, they were so small. Yeah. Oh. Just a thin little pencil line. Anyway, yeah, so she's kind of like a Britney Spears type character. She's got the snake tattoo on her lower belly area, going down towards her lower belly area.
The whole thing is she's a virgin.
Yeah.
And wants to wait to marriage. And they, it's kind of played for a joke.
Yeah.
Not kind of. It is very much played for a joke.
Yeah. Yeah, even Jessica Alba's like, we'll see until her next album, you know, like.
Yeah.
Or whatever. That's not how she says it. It's much better written than what I just said. I mean, not.
No, I think it's that like
much better written, but like
until the next album.
Yeah.
What even happens in this scene, Joe? What's going on?
Nothing.
In this
episode? They just walk in. They walk into the office. They act.
Oh,
like
they meet
like
Emily.
Kings. Yes.
And oh, that's
Emily's,
the big thing.
Yeah.
One
Ari's
of the many
assistant.
Emilys of the world.
Yeah.
What? No, there's two. Yeah. So one, it introduces Emily, and that she plays a pretty big role or a minor role in season one. But then it also sets up the Ari.
That's been going I think that's been already established from episode one. They like sat down to sushi dinner and kind of E threatened to beat up Ari.
Oh, that's I was waiting for that. So I didn't watch the first episode in a while, so I knew that happened at some point. I was waiting for it to happen at the end of this episode, so it happened.
Yeah, already,
So they already have like a terrible dynamic going.
They do. I will say this. So Pippin's obviously, you know, pretty unsavory character in real life, possibly, allegedly.
But,
allegedly.
Yeah. I don't know. From what we see or read. Do you remember? So these first two episodes, they really recalibrate the Ari character. Because I guess it was probably last episode where he's talking about cheating on his wife
is
a lot more douchier than. I mean, even in
he's
later,
pretty douchey in this one,
right? Yeah. Oh, completely. And as the series goes on, yes, very much. But he was even more so. Like he was even more unbearable in the first couple episodes, and they really do. They do some course correction in season two, or maybe even at the end of season one.
Yeah, I think at the end of season one, even this, like he is acting a little differently than the first episode.
Yeah, the first episode, everything he says is offensive, and in this, it's like the pre-roll is offensive, but then he says normal things for a little while.
Yeah, like he's showing a video to them of their kid like riding a bicycle.
Oh, right.
But that's just to check out a girl, though.
Immediately blanked that he did that thing.
Yeah, but he's also like showing, like
he's look at this woman. Yeah. She's had four kids. Can you believe it? My wife says it's hard to keep it that tight. Like,
yeah,
so meaning that twist. His wife's let herself go and that it's not that hard.
Yeah,
is what I took out of that, which shows me once again that he is a huge asshole. And he's like, and my son likes chicks. See, he's looking at her.
No,
because he's homophobic.
Right, and that doesn't. Well, that definitely doesn't change.
It's my deep read on that.
But it does. But they do try to soften it up a bit to the point that he's like one of the entourage later
on.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's a long time off.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So they meet in his office, and basically it was just to like go over the review. I think like there was nothing really established, and to pick up some scripts.
They have a box of scripts for some reason. That I kind of blanked on why. Emily brings them.
He passed on Matterhorn. Yeah. So they're basically like trying to figure out what his next step is, and Ari's pissed still.
Yeah, Ari's just being like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and he
it's $4 million. He should be upset from a business. Like,
I mean,
his
in
agent.
Fairness, I would have sold out. We talked about this a little yesterday, but like we both would sell out.
But
immediately.
If you're Ari's a creep, but he should, as a manager or agent, I guess he should be very upset that his client, who is, you know, at this point, who knows what's going to happen in the future, turned down a $4 million offer because his buddy says, like, hey, man, I don't like this script.
Right. And they're going on the whole, like, he should have done it before the review came out because the review is bad, and now what's he going to do?
Right.
And then he sets the fear of God into E to be like, uh-oh, should Vinny be spending all this money? Which he shouldn't be. No, of course not.
He should also get a manager. This whole premise is flawed. Like, he should not be his manager really ever.
Yeah.
Even when he becomes a good manager, he's still not ever really a good manager.
Yeah,
Vince is paying him $4,000 a month at cash. So, I mean, you can't get a better deal than that.
That is true. I will.
Yes, you can.
Actually, is it? Like, how much did he make for Head On? That's like probably not a lot.
Oh, no. He's ripping him off. But it's still more money than he's ever made.
Wait, who's ripping whom
off? Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying, like, it's like Vince is getting a really good deal paying him so little.
Vince is saving money on not hiring another agent, but 10% of, like, what did he make for that? $100,000?
No. For
Head On?
Yes.
It's
no
a Jessica Alba movie. He's the co-headliner.
$100,000?
What did he do before? He was in a commercial, right?
I think he had other bit parts.
I don't think so. There's no way he didn't make millions.
Then how did he get that house?
There's no...
He doesn't own it. He's like, they're paying month to month on that house. Because they move out of it pretty quickly.
There's no way for
what do you think he made?
Star in a movie.
He made Alba's a star.
Yeah, but his name's on the poster too.
He's co-billed.
So like, what did Joshua Jackson make for Urban Legends?
Legend. That's a totally different situation. He's barely in that movie. Vince is like
the Joshua Jackson's on Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, but he's not in the movie.
He's in it, just not. He's at the lead. I get that.
All right.
Okay. So,
So maybe Joshua Jackson made like $100,000.
All right. I do agree. I do agree. $100,000 is. I still think this is like more of an indie movie than a studio movie, but whatever. Maybe okay. So maybe $500,000. He didn't make more than $500,000 on Head On.
Oh no, but no. I'd say it's probably closer. I definitely think it's more than $100,000.
If it's an independent movie, that's closer to what you're getting.
I don't think it's an independent movie. There's no way. Jessica Alba wasn't doing indie.
Yeah, go on to the next.
Do we know what Head On was? Like, I feel this should be online. Like, don't they have Wikipedia pages for all these fake movies? I'm no service. I'm just gonna assume
what?
It was a
you
pretty
can get
crappy
on
movie.
Our internet. If
it
you
doesn't
want.
Matter.
Right. You're so upset about Head On.
I don't think it's a good movie.
He got a terrible review. So I mean,
And they compared jumping ahead. That was from Variety. Variety is not known for their critical.
All right. I also wanted to backtrack just to say quickly that one of the plot points that we missed here was that they all ordered water from Emily, except Drama, who ordered a Welch's grape soda, which everyone acts like is the craziest thing he could possibly have done.
I don't like it because it also doesn't track with Drama being a fitness nut who spends, $2,500 in vitamins a month?
Yeah.
If you do spend that much, you wouldn't order a grape soda. You would order, whatever the 2004 equivalent of coconut water is.
I think it's something that he just does and doesn't drink it.
Pitch black.
Oh, right. I see what you're saying. But still, you would still order, I think you'd order something healthier. So he could drink it, not just be.
I think he just wants the weirdest. He said, if you just order the weirdest thing, they'll remember you. And he's so desperate, when he's in that room because he wants Ari's rep.
Yeah.
So
he's a great character.
I love Johnny Drama. I do.
Johnny Drama's the king, baby.
Well, remember when we all went to go see Entourage? Wait, did you guys bring this? I don't know why you would have talked about me on. I assume you talked about me.
Well, I did demand to know how many awards he'd won for his role on Entourage in general. Over the years, I assumed it was...
Was he ever nominated for, a Golden Globe?
No.
Oh, well, he could have been. I would not be surprised.
I don't think he... if he was nominated, he didn't win.
I had said my biggest take from the Entourage movie when we went to see it, we went to Applebee's before and after. That's true.
That's true.
Was that I wouldn't be floored if Johnny Drama got a Golden Globe nominee for his portrayal of Johnny Drama in
the You Entourage did say movie. That, and I argued with you.
And I agreed. I thought he did great.
I didn't say I thought he would get one. I was saying he was deserving.
He could get a nod.
And he could, and I would not be
But you were making it seem it's he deserves one, and he'll probably get one.
I don't know, but he did deserve one. Sorry for yelling and making you turn down the audio. I still think that he was the best part of that movie, and that movie would have been abysmal if he wasn't in it.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the movie was abysmal. Well, it was named the worst movie of 2015.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I disagree with that wholeheartedly.
I don't know.
Variety, probably. They've been anti-Vinny Chase from the get-go.
I mean, in fairness, Sloane is pregnant for 12 months. It's just, it lacks basic editing.
Well, the timing of the movie makes no sense. It exists in a whole, another dimension.
Isn't the first line in the movie something
they try to retcon it, and none of it makes sense. Which really could be the tagline for Entourage. None of this makes sense. We're all gonna die. It doesn't matter.
Life is finite. Enjoy Entourage.
Entourage is the most nihilistic show on television.
Josh Soroka.
Are we out of
Decider.com
yet?
No, I don't think so. Well, I think we're two scenes
in. We'll do a little trimming, maybe.
Oh, okay. So E meets Emily, and they, like, he is a little smitten with her. And then they go into Ari's office. He shows him the video, and Ari gets mad at E for passing on Matterhorn. And then Vince leaves the room after Emily brings in a bunch of scripts. And Ari's like, hey, hold back, E. I want to talk to you. And then yells at him for bringing up the review.
He's kind of nice about it, though. Like, he scolds him in a parental manner.
Yeah.
Because it's probably the first time they say, hug it out, bitch, right?
That's the first, yeah, that's the first hug it out, bitch. Yeah, and he's way nicer to him than he was when they met for sushi in the first episode when mm-hmm. he was, like, pissed at him.
Also, Samir Armstrong? What's the character's name who is Ari's assistant? Who is
Samir Armstrong, yeah. So she's gone
Anna from
on,
the OC.
Anna from the OC, yes. She enters on Dirty Sexy Money.
Yep, I remember that. She's great. Maybe one of the... Like, they should have done more with her. I like her as an actress. Yeah, she was very good on the OC, which was right around this time as well.
Well, I think she jumped ship from Entourage to go to the OC.
I looked at the timing. I don't know about that. Like, I feel they were very... Like, one was shooting when the other was happening. I mean, they only had her for the first season of the OC. Like, she left. She was only in a couple of episodes, which was also a mistake, but this is not an OC podcast. But the first season is great. They made Josh Schwartz... there was some beloved characters he didn't keep on, much like Entourage. Because Samir Armstrong, if that's how you say her name, and Monica...
Samir?
Is
that how it is? Samiri?
I'm going to just say Armstrong from now on. But also, the girl who plays E's ex is also great on this, but only around for the first season.
Yeah.
Oh,
has she been introduced
yet?
Okay.
No. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about Kristen, but we haven't met her.
Oh, yes, that's her name, Kristen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've met a girl who looks like her that he presumably banged.
Yeah.
I thought it was... I don't think he does, right? Doesn't it come out later he didn't bang her?
Oh, that's...
I feel like that constantly
that feels
happens
right.
On the show.
Yeah. See, I feel like E is the one I would hang out with of all of them.
But he is insufferable. Like, I do not want to hear him talk about relationships.
I'd hang out with Vinny and E. Then, no, I would hang out with Drama. No, none of them would hang out with me. I'm a woman.
Turtle would. I feel you're giving him the short end of the stick. Turtle would hang
I
out
said
with
that
you.
He Turtles is the are, most yeah. realistically queens of them.
Oh, that is absolutely true.
But also, like, he comes across as the most misogynistic.
Yeah. More so than, I mean, I guess.
So far. I mean, listen, so far, I'm new to this. This is what we're doing. I'm watching Entourage. You're watching Entourage. You've seen it a few times.
I like resetting the premise every 10 minutes. Because I do constantly am asking, or I'm constantly asking what's going on.
All right. So, yeah, the boys go to a car dealer after that. After they hug it out, bitch.
Yeah, they want to go buy a car. Vince wants a Benz, but then Turtle says no and brings him to... Where do they go? Oh, Rolls Royce.
Oh, yeah.
Like, dealership.
Which is weird, but...
And then they walk in, and it's, like, this weird dealership where there's, like, two cars in the place. And
yeah,
like,
classic dealership.
Yeah.
The car they get kind of looks like a hearse. But, oh, when we got to this scene, I said, oh, that guy. Because it's the cab driver from How I Met Your Mother, who is great on How I Met Your Mother.
Marshall Manesh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was delighted to see him.
In this, yeah.
Yeah. He basically valued Vince's signature at $1,000.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
It's worth more than that after Queens Boulevard.
Well, I mean...
I don't know
after
what
Aquaman,
you're talking
actually.
About.
After,
kind
yeah,
of
after
know.
Aquaman. Yeah. Definitely not after Head On. Yeah, so Vince wants to buy a Phantom, which is, I guess, this is the name of the car that...
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's called, yeah, it's called a Phantom. I know nothing about cars, but this
I don't care about any of this of this part. Not, but I mean, it was very much like Entourage trifle. Like, we got this expensive car. Like, Emily, well, you'll soon find.
let's wait a minute.
Hold for a second. Sorry.
No, let's keep that in. I feel like it really adds some gravita up.
Dude, Emily's going nuts on her nose.
It was just too much. I couldn't hold it in any longer. All right, so yeah, he buys the car from the guy from How I Met Your Mother. And they're all like, yeah, do it, Vince. Do it, Vince. Do it, Vince.
Yeah, there's like a weird like scene where like they're all saying do it, including the dealer.
And, right, which of course he'd want him to.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It's just a weird like...
Yeah, it's a little cartoony.
Yeah.
Otherwise incredibly realistic series.
Yeah. It just, I don't know. It just stuck out as like strange that like everybody's like, yeah, do it. do it. I think they all say, like, do it, like, 6 or 7 times. It's very weird.
Well, except E, who's still like, money is a problem, maybe.
I mean, you make him sound like a nerd, but that he is the only one who's thinking rationally.
No, yeah.
And Vince will do whatever. Like, he is very much prone to peer pressure. Like, those 80s commercials where it's like, say no to drugs, and it shows ways kids should say no to drugs. Like, he should watch those. Yeah. Because he has, like, $200,000 at most, and he just spent more than that on leasing a car.
Yeah, the car cost $319.
Yeah.
Didn't because they bring it down a little bit? Cause
no, it was $320. Yeah.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, it was only $1,000? That's not much of a discount for an autograph. I mean, it is for an autograph, but I thought it was, for whatever reason, like, $20.
No.
To, like,
no.
Try to trick him. Because, like, also, you can negotiate those prices.
No,
they like, didn't. If it says sticker price $320, you're not going to pay $320, Vince. Oh,
this guy's isn't a real dumb. Dealership. This is a sketchy warehouse.
Well, it's a TV show, so yes, I know it's not real. But even in the Entourage universe, I feel there's wiggle room, even for the most high-end cars.
What I'm hearing is Vinny needs you in his Entourage.
I would be much better than E. Not so much Johnny Drama, because I can't cook as well as he can. Mm-hmm. And I can't offer all the intangibles Turtle does. Like, he's a good driver. He knows his way around LA. He's a good friend. E is useless, and I could do what he does.
Are you not a good driver?
I haven't really driven.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a terrible
driver.
For 12
years. I mean, I do when I go home, but not all the time. Yeah. You shouldn't put a celebrity. I don't want to have to take care of a celebrity while driving.
Hmm.
That's what I feel about my driving ability. Plus, I don't know the LA streets.
Good GPS. You got Waze now, baby.
That's true. All right, but I don't want to replace Turtle. He's integral.
Okay, fair enough.
So the boys leave. They take the car right then and there, and they're driving around smoking weed, filling up the car with smoke. They're going
crazy.
And
that's illegal, correct?
At the time, yeah, it was. It
probably still is, right?
Yeah, you probably can't smoke and drive even in California.
Yeah, I would probably assume. Not.
Certainly not at the same time, and probably not. While high either. I would assume that that's illegal.
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
Vinny drops that he doesn't have a driver's license in that also, which makes car an extra terrible
investment.
That comes into play later on in the series. But that makes sense, though. He grew up in Queens, and he moved to L.A. pretty young.
Yeah, but Turtle has a license. Turtle's driving. Everybody else can drive.
Presumably.
No, I mean, it makes sense that he doesn't have a license.
Yeah, but everybody else does.
What are you talking about? I know, I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you said it makes sense, though.
It makes sense that he doesn't have a license. Yes, it tracks in the story. Because he grew up in Queens, he wouldn't need a license. He moved to L.A.
Yeah, but they all came from Queens, and everybody else has a license.
Yeah, but he's an idiot. Like, he's not going to get a license
He
in
doesn't
Queens.
Know how to read.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, how he can't read the signs. He can't read the
Yeah, it tracks. Like, he didn't even look for a manager because he's too lazy. He's like, oh, my best friend will do it. Yeah,
he truly is an incredibly lazy character.
Yeah.
It's good looking, though.
Good looking.
That hair.
I'll tell you.
Baby.
He's one handsome dude.
So they pull up to a stop sign, and then there's like two women in a Jeep.
Oh,
and they like
the
motion to
everything's
like
the worst.
Roll down the windows. And the only person that they can really see at first is Turtle, and they like ask him who the hell he is.
No,
and
they're like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that I did that voice. It's LA, for
baby.
Them. But yeah, that's how they write the women. It's not real women, it's just how they write them.
Yeah, I mean, these two characters are like a fantasy version.
This is all just a fantasy.
Yeah, so they ask him what he does. He's like, oh, I'm a Powerball winner. Like, they can't even see into the car, so they have no idea that Vinny Chase is like in there. And then Drama rolls down the window from the back seat, and they kind of recognize him from Viking Quest, and then he like demands that they like, he's like, let's party, call two friends and follow us. And then they do, which is like insane.
Which is crazy. I would never.
Well, in the world of Entourage, that's how women act around, I guess, whatever the equivalent of Johnny Drama, like Scott Baio, I guess, would have been like more popular than him. But like, that's the kind of celebrity he is. Like, a Scott Baio wasn't as popular.
Yeah, but I don't know. He's like so old, and he's sitting in the back seat.
Only compared, like, how old is he in this episode?
Yeah, but compared to, like, Turtle and...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is he, like, what? Is he 40? No. 35?
He's got to be in his 40s, I feel like.
No, in that episode?
Yeah. He's talking about he's got Rogaine going. I mean, I guess that doesn't mean anything, but...
I don't think he's... how old is Matt Dillon? That's his name?
Kevin
Dillon? All right, Matt Dillon's his brother. So, was he, like, 50 now?
I don't know.
I can look it up.
There's only a way. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll look it up.
Yeah, so the girls call two friends and they head back to the Vinny's house and hit the pool, like they which seems to be a recurring theme.
He's 53
now. Dan is telling us he's 53 now. So that would mean
in 2004 he was 53 minus 14, so
39.
We were both right.
Oh, okay. So yeah, close to
That is old for like hanging, because like isn't Vinny like those guys are like kids. They look like they're in their early 20s.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute, but he was like hanging out with them in high school.
Well, he was much older. He was selling them weed in high school, is what they say.
Okay.
Yeah. Alright. Yeah. So they hit the pool, they're back, they're partying. Somehow there's four women and they're all interested in every member
following
of the crew.
A Jeep.
Yeah. And then, so then they get a phone call, and it's Vin's biz manager Marvin, played by Paul Herman.
Perfectly.
This guy, this guy has actually had a huge career. I like looked him up on IMDb. He's been in like some crazy huge movies. He was in Big. He was in Last Temptation of Christ. He's been in like most Scorsese movies. He was in Goodfellas. He was in Casino. He was also in Heat.
Wow.
He was in like The Color of Money.
He's the most famous person in the world, and you've never heard of him.
Yeah.
He's got the career everybody wants, which is where you get to be in a bunch of good stuff, but no one knows who you are, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, he was on The Sopranos for a bit, too. So
And Entourage.
And Entourage. Yeah, well, he's in a lot of episodes.
He's there for the long haul.
Yeah. So he's pissed at E and Vince for buying this car, because he has no money.
Right, understandable.
Because Vince is an idiot.
Yeah. How are you going to pay for your financial manager if you don't have any money?
Yeah. So he wants to talk to Vince, but Vince won't talk to him. So he makes E come to the office, like, immediately.
E, for $48,000 a year, has to, like, run Vince's life.
To be fair, that's tax-free.
That's true.
Cash is not bad. I suppose.
I mean...
But he should be reporting that.
He's definitely not, though.
Where's all the money going, Vince?
He starts recording it in like after season two when he signs on. That's when the paperwork probably goes through.
Is that why the cash? I guess he's from Queens.
That's how they do it in Queens. That's how I do it.
So everybody does here in Queens. Yeah, I pay my taxes.
Don't pay my taxes. Don't check up on that.
I'm so overcautious. I like overpay my taxes. I'm always like, just take it, whatever you want. Like. Because I'm so afraid of being deported.
Like bragging over here.
Yeah. I wish I had some...
I just... In case the IRS is listening.
So he makes E come to the office, and he unloads on E about, like, all the finances that they're... Like, they're in pretty big trouble, like, financially.
Well, that should be in quotes, though. There's no one's ever in big trouble in Entourage. There's never any stakes.
This is as high stakes as it gets for this episode.
And spoiler alert for every other episode, nothing ever comes of it.
I mean, that's the tradition of Entourage.
Yeah. It's like the Seinfeld of HBO, in that nothing ever happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, without all the jokes and stuff.
It was a comedy. And was nominated for an Emmy.
Seinfeld was great, but what about Andre? Just kidding.
Was that the Seinfeld being there?
With
Andre. So E leaves and meets the boys. Apparently, this was a weird. I don't understand the time frame of this, because E leaves the pool to go meet the business manager. He's at the business manager's place for like 10 minutes, and then he goes and leaves and then meets the guys who are eating at a restaurant. So they, I guess,
in the day, like with traffic and everything.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I figured like if they have a bunch of women at the house, they're probably not going to want to leave. And then they ditch the women. The women aren't there.
So. They probably had plans. So they're like, we'll come over, hang out. In the middle of the day, they're probably, I assume, actresses or some in the entertainment field.
Yeah, maybe the girls had to like work or something.
I don't think they had. I think more that they had their afternoons free, so they're probably in the entertainment industry. We're like, we'll go over and see what these guys are about. Yeah. And then, you know, hung out for an hour or two, and then, went to...
Yeah, they were like, the darkness is falling, I must depart.
Yeah, you don't want to hang out with those, like...
No, you don't want to be alone
there.
How
much does Drama and Turtle have to say? Like, you've got what they're about, and Vin has nothing to say.
So you think they all had sex, and then...
I don't think any of them had sex.
Yeah, no. I mean...
I think they hung out in the pool for a little while.
Using the Scott Baio analogy actually makes that make more sense, because if I were in a van, a Jeep, and for some reason talked to the people next to us and they were like, let's go, and Scott Baio was there, you'd be like,
let's see where this
maybe,
well, let's see where it goes without, like, let's hang,
like,
out,
like, you
with
keep
it,
your
you
cell phone on, but, like,
yeah. Oh yeah,
you tell, text a few people where you're heading.
Yeah, so yeah, they wanted to, like,
drop a pin,
see what's happening, see what's happening. They went hang out at this guy's pool.
And then they were like, this is, I gotta go.
That's just what normal hanging out is. I don't know, how, like, when we hang out for a couple hours, then we all go our separate ways.
Yeah, but they purposely, they called these women over, like, you think that they'd, like, be, they would hang for a long, like.
No, I would I see how they would leave. And then, you know, you gotta go get dinner, because you gotta go to Jessica Alba's house later.
They weren't invited yet. They didn't even know about that.
What?
So they go to
the
restaurant.
I have this all out of order.
Oh, yeah, because well, that's true.
Oh,
they
that's right.
They go to the restaurant, and then they're just eating, and they're looking at houses, and then Jessica Alba walks up behind them. And I have to say, like, in the first episode, I was shocked that she wasn't in the first episode, and I thought that she wasn't in the show at all. But then I was surprised, because...
There she was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had the same... Because, I mean, I think I asked you yesterday. I was like, Jessica Alba.
And I've seen the show many times, and I cannot remember for the life of me things like that. Where, oh, like, yeah, I guess Jessica Alba is in the show.
No, Entourage loves a good cameo.
Mm-hmm.
She pops in, loves Vinny and the boys.
Yeah.
The boys? Oh, the boys love her.
Oh, yeah.
Drama loves her.
Everybody loves Jessica Alba.
Yeah.
She's America's sweetheart.
She looks so young here. I forgot, like, everyone looks like babies. I mean, to be fair, this is, you know, what, almost 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, how young we were.
Yeah.
Mm. So they Vince asks Jessica Alba about Justine. Jessica Alba warns him that it ain't gonna happen. She's saving herself for marriage.
Yeah.
But that doesn't stop Vince. He's still interested. So Jessica Alba invites them over to her house because she's having a party for Justine because Justine is going on tour, which is weird because I don't know, like. If your friend is going on tour, so you're throwing her a party at your house, but that's her career, is like going on tour. Like, she's a musician.
I don't find that weird. I think it's a nice thing to do. I think Jessica Alba's a nice person who's just trying to help out her friend.
Yeah.
I feel like you have a very odd concept of normal human behavior. Like, things that I look at and I'm like, oh, that's just how people interact. You're like, what? These people went to their houses and didn't hang out for 24 hours that's or have not, sex?
No.
That's crazy.
No, but for something like this, though, like...
Have you never been to a party
for this woman?
We were just invited to a mutual friend's birthday party that someone's setting up. It's the same exact thing. It's the Hollywood version of a birthday party.
I think it's so much more.
We threw a party for Josh at a bar when he was going to California.
Were you guys at that?
Yes, but that was a special occasion. Justine is a musician. Yeah. She goes
on tour. The same. You're right. That's the exact same thing. I was going to LA for a week.
Musicians don't go on tour like every 8 months. Like, they go when they drop an album.
Jessica Alba's her friend.
Which is like five times.
Musicians plus, it's LA. And she's rich.
Well, but
she's
they
like
start
everyone,
a tour.
It's
and then
an
they
excuse
start
for a party. What is wrong with you? An excuse for a party. My friend's going out of town. Guys come over. She is Alba. She's rich. She doesn't have to set it up. She's like, hey, assistant, set up this party.
Yeah,
it's gonna
call
be fun.
My favorite catering company.
But why do you think this is
get
so
all the girls
like,
with their midriffs
this
showing.
Is really normal?
I'm not. This is not a bit. This is Emily. Do you? I don't know. I don't.
Yeah, I honestly was not thrown by it.
Yes, at all.
I thought it was weird.
This is the second thing that I thought was very normal. And I know it's not really? But very normal behavior that you thought was weird.
Okay.
No, that was very normal.
I feel like it's like Jennifer Lawrence has that weird friendship with Emma Stone. I feel like they just like throw each other parties. They have millions of dollars. They're just going to be like, yeah, I'll throw you a party.
This happens to non-celebrities every day in New York City and other places that are not
that's
New
the thing.
York.
It's small things like that. Normal people do things like this. Celebrities throwing parties for other people like to go do their job.
No, have you not read Us magazine? Celebrities are just like us.
They're better.
All right, so she's throwing the tour for Justine. All the guys get there, and drama sees Faustino there.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Okay, yeah. So they walk into the party, and then Alba, like, shows them around and introduces Vince to Justine. They go talk, yeah.
Which I actually felt was not... I didn't catch Vinny being like, I'm not dissuaded by this virgin thing. It was Jessica Alba being like, I know you at... I mean, there's no lines. She's just like, come here. And then she just walks away, and you see that they're talking to each other. But, like...
Well, maybe just... I mean, Justine seemed also into Vinny, so maybe she... I mean, since they're such good friends, and,
that is exactly what happened.
Alba's throwing her
the
party.
Celebrity...
Now, what are you talking... Joe, I don't think you know how people interact, because here's exactly what happened. Jessica Alba and Leighton are friends. I forgot her character's name, so I'm just going to call her Leighton Meester. They're friends.
Yes.
So... Alba's like, hey,
I'm
Vince
aware.
Is, hold
this is
on,
exactly
hold
what
on.
I'm saying.
She's
this
like,
is,
hey,
this part
this
isn't
probably,
strange.
The whole party is probably thrown because she likes Vince. So she's like,
that's
hey,
crazy.
That's
she's,
too
Emily's
much.
Leaving.
I'm afraid this notebook's gonna set on fire.
So Leighton is like, hey, or no, Jessica's like, hey, Vince is coming to this party. So Leighton's like, oh, when he gets here, let him know, like.
I know this. I think this is the most normal part of this.
Wait, you forgot what I thought was one of the nicest moment of the show was as soon as they get there, Turtle. Well, this isn't nice, but Turtle's like going to go hit on a girl, and he's like, "Get me a drink." And this, I don't know why I thought this was so funny. He's like, "Well, what do you want?" And Turtle's like off screen. He goes, "He yells whiskey," and he's like, "I'm gonna do it." I like that. That's a very good friend.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a nice little moment of friendship.
Yeah, they do take care of each other.
I do like when they are, or like when one of them's really down and they're like, I like the genuine moments of friendship of Entourage, which are, few and far between because they like to bust balls.
So there's the scene in the wine store where Vince buys a $200-something bottle of wine.
Yeah.
I feel like this scene is in there to show once again that Vinny's just spending money and E is being like, oh, do we really think that's a good idea?
Yes, and also to set up that the whole like the kicker of the episode that Vinny had sex with lost his virginity to E's cousin.
Right. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Which is revealed later. Yeah. This is a whole like
subplot.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Who's your first? So that comes back later on.
Yeah, I'd like to say that if I were going to Jessica Alba's house, I would absolutely assume that I should get like the best bottle of wine.
That actually is true because I don't agree with him buying the house or buying the car or looking at $1 million houses. I do agree that he should bring a nice bottle of wine.
Yeah, of all the things he's spending money on, that's absolutely correct.
And it doesn't seem like it's an expensive bottle of wine, but you're going to Jessica Alba's.
Yeah,
that I agree with.
So the boys buy wine. They go to the party. Vince is talking to Justine, and then Faustino shows up. David Faustino from Married with Children, playing himself as a like drama level like D-list celebrity. And then drama drops a big F-bomb here.
Oh yeah,
it's not aged well.
The bad F-bomb. The F-bomb we're not going to say here.
Another instance of this show definitely not holding up.
Tell you this, it ain't fuck. Because I'll say that all you want.
Also, it's a little jarring when celebrities play themselves because since this is 13 years ago, so many people like Leighton Meester is. I think objectively a bigger celebrity than the guy from Married with Children,
but
she's playing a fictitious character,
right?
And he's playing himself.
Yeah, they've got fake celebrities and they've got real celebrities, and they've got real celebrities playing fake celebrities and real celebrities playing real celebrities, and then also fake celebrities playing real celebrities.
Yeah, I guess it's really not all that confusing. Just a little fun fact.
I do not question really fact, like people's like the audience who was watching this if they were aware of like. When drama did drop Faustino's name, like earlier in the episode, if they even knew who the hell he was talking about.
I didn't know. I never watched Married with Children.
Like, he's not even like a big, like.
That's true.
Has been,
like, I only knew because I've seen it before. I don't think I would have the first time around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a nice little payoff then, I guess. If you introduce.
Do you think it was just because they couldn't get literally anybody else to do this? And they were just like, hey, we're doing the second episode of the show. Like, Alba's in it, but like.
Yeah, the show got picked up, so. We got to find some more.
Yeah, we got to, like, get into the Rolodex of...
Yeah, just like we're doing, finding all the Hollywood celebrities that are going to be on this show.
Oh, yeah.
He absolutely wasn't the first choice, but the better question is, like, what choice was he? I'd say, like, probably top 10, though.
Yeah.
I bet someone knew him.
Yeah, that's probably more likely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they probably, like, wanted Macchio or, like, Fred Savage, and they all turned
Savage was a hard no. Macchio was, like, later in the... Like, he eventually comes on.
Yeah, he was like, I'd love to, but I'm busy.
Yeah.
Yell the F-bomb at me.
It's Chekhov's D-list celebrity. You introduce him in the first act. You gotta pay it off in the third act.
Exactly.
I was trying to say that for a couple times. I'm really glad I got it out.
Josh has had that one in his pocket. You like woke up with that one ready to go.
And it was loaded.
So Vince is chatting up Justine out by the pool. She's saying that she's like not really saving herself for marriage. She's just saving herself for somebody special.
That's nice. She's like maybe the most honest character in this episode.
That's true.
Yeah. I like that. Good job, Jess.
Yeah, she seems cool, honestly.
Yeah.
And she's still really into Vince, and Vince makes a very specific point of saying, like, I don't want to be anybody's first, and I don't want to be anybody's last.
Yeah. Which I took to mean he doesn't want to kill anybody by boning them too hard.
But he will.
And then, Ari also shows up at this party.
Yeah, Ari is
invited.
Uninvited, no. Yeah. I mean, I think because I am assuming because the party is for Justine, and he reps Justine, so he ended up just showing up anyway. But then the whole time he's just trying to sign Jessica Alba.
Makes a pretty funny Dark Angel reference.
Yeah.
And, oh man, she does a great job reacting to him.
Yeah, that actually seems very, like, all right, for all the crap that Entourage gets, deservedly, I do think it's a fun little, like, for us who, like, we don't live in LA or know that culture, I guess.
Yeah. We're here on the mean streets of Queens.
We're here in Queens, like, where it all started.
Yeah.
But, like, you're like, oh, what, it's very much escapism and, like, that fantasy, like, oh, what would it be like? And that does seem, that's very realistic.
That rings true. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And the whole, that scene was, I was distracted by Jessica Alba sucking on a lollipop.
Me too. So crazy.
It was a little weird.
That's what people did in 2004.
No. Are you going to say that this is normal interaction? This is just like, Joe, people suck. They have parties and they don't drink and they just stand there and they suck on a lollipop all night.
No, you're probably right on this one. Although I do, aren't there like drug lollipops that people take that are kind of like laced with pot?
I'm sure that's not what that was, though.
Yeah, I mean, if that was, I feel like it would have been established.
That's true.
Subtle.
That's a very point. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that was just like, I feel like that's a classic Entourage move to be like, what do grown women never do?
I'm sure this is what sexy ladies do,
like,
all the time.
Yeah, what's a sexy lady going to do at a party?
What's a way to, like, kind of
what I assume imply? Is 12 straight white men in a room.
Yeah.
Maybe just Doug Ellis alone in a room. Yeah,
all of them 25 to 34.
Only one writing credit.
Yeah.
Like, this is all Doug Ellis, like,
just
fantasy.
Being like, what do women do when they're sexy?
I guess, Jessica, why am I sucking in this? Like, oh, this is what ladies do, Jessica. Here
maybe
you go.
He's just got a big sugar thing. Because he also, in the pilot episode, we talked about this yesterday, but Vinny eats cane sugar with his finger, like, a lot. It's very strange.
What are they doing?
They're like in his kitchen, and he puts his finger into a box of sugar and then just puts it in his mouth over and over again. Yeah, just like while he's having that conversation.
Like, yeah, they're trying to have like a serious conversation about like when E threatened Ari. And
to be fair, he shouldn't do that. Also,
threaten Ari eat cane sugar.
Both, because sugar's not good for you. But also, you should not threaten. The only person who's getting your friend multi-million-dollar offers.
Yeah. But
but it's Entourage, baby. Anything goes. It doesn't matter.
That is true. Because in the pilot, he's like, you should just fire him, and he starts calling him. Oh my god, what a dumb puppy.
And I said he's like a Labrador.
Oh,
he's like
really?
A golden lab. Yeah.
Yeah, he very much is.
He really is.
So Vince walks away from Justine, and E's standing by himself overlooking LA.
To be fair, I do agree with that, and that does ring true because it's a nice view, and I like to ponder.
The thing that rang the least true to me was them being like, we're at this party full of beautiful women, why are we looking at a bunch of lights?
Yeah, no, they
because
should do that. You should always take stock of your life.
You should stare out at the LA skyline.
Yeah.
What I didn't like about that scene is Vince basically implying that his worst case scenario is the lives that all three of us live every day.
Our actual lives.
Yeah. That scene ends
I feel
with,
like that sorry.
Well, they talk about like how Vince like lost his virginity to E's cousin and then also fucked his other cousin.
Yeah. And E doesn't seem too concerned about it.
He was a little mad.
He's miffed.
Like,
yeah.
He was miffed. That's a good way to say it.
He's like, oh, it's typical Vince.
He's not chuffed about it.
That is typical Vince, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like if you're Vince's friend, you're just like, he's banged every woman I've ever met.
Yeah, and also it doesn't ring true that you wouldn't know about it, because that was high school. Like, they're all in a clique. Like, that would have come out before, but that's fine. It's storytelling device. It's good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, E probably knows that he's banged his cousin, sort of, but he doesn't know that. That's
right.
How Vinny lost his.
He's such an idiot. He thinks that E doesn't know. But you know what? E's not that savvy either, so who knows?
Yeah.
They're a bunch of idiots.
It's a show with a lot of layers.
Yeah. Sorry. What were we saying, Joe?
That was it. Oh, well, I mean, just going back to, like, their worst-case scenario is our life right now.
Actual day-to-day lives.
Yeah, which is just living in Queens.
And, right.
Yeah.
Having regular jobs.
Fuck you, Entourage, because we have a pretty okay lives.
Yeah, we're like, if you put all three of our lives into happy.
One. Yeah. If you put all three of us into one, though.
Oh, we'd be great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we have one solid life. I still don't think it equals, like, one member of Entourage, though.
Well, they maybe not of any, but, like, the other guys, sure.
As of right, well, not long term, but as of episode two, yes. They all have, like, pretty average lives, except for Vinny.
Yeah.
So I agree with that. Who's, like, what's the Entourage hot rankings, Emily, as our female correspondent?
Yeah. Like, who's the most attractive of...
The four.
Of Piven's the four?
Out.
Yeah, Piven's out.
People like Piven. Piven's got, like, his own bit, like...
Real life Piven? Or on the show, Ari.
Well, what are we talking? Are we talking about? Like looks or
what do you?
Like, until let me just say this.
Yeah.
Until we found out that Jeremy Piven is exactly who you would have thought Jeremy Piven would be,
huh?
Allegedly. Until we heard from no, thank you. I was saying allegedly. I said it once yesterday, but I should have said it a lot more.
Oh, I'm kidding. No one's gonna sue us.
No. But what if they did?
Good. I
am the most scared
Jeremy
person.
Jeremy Piven, come on this podcast and debate us about.
Oh my gosh, that would be incredible.
I don't want to. That guy's intense. I don't know.
Yell at me.
I don't want to. I would decline if he took me up on that offer. Wow. I know that is not me. I do not want to debate you, Jeremy Piven.
I also have a lot of questions about very bad things.
Uh oh.
Movie
and also your life.
Oh, I didn't. Okay. So before. Allegedly, before we found out that Jeremy Piven allegedly did some pretty bad things, I would have said that Ari was in the top three for hotness.
Oh, baby.
Because there's something about that passion, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. And also, like, conventionally attractive. If you're going by conventional attractiveness, that's also fair.
Yeah.
Wait, what's the movie that he did that was like a car salesman?
Fuck.
Okay, so here's what we do. It's like
the goods.
Okay,
the goods,
could you
so
slice
hard.
In me saying you mean the goods when Emily says very bad things?
No,
the second
I'm
time?
Gonna say that.
Okay, oh,
I'm
you're gonna,
gonna
do,
make
you're gonna
you
take
look
it?
Dumb and say I know that it was the goods.
I'll give you one for the good. You mean the goods? I just throw that in there. It's after she says very bad things. Give it a beat. Then my A+ zinger.
Okay.
Hold for applause.
Anyway, so current power rankings are Vinny's number one, E's number two. At this point in the series, not knowing about Jeremy Piven, I would say Ari's number three. Cutting out Ari, I guess Turtle, then Johnny Drama.
Turtle and Drama
are like tied, really. I wouldn't
but for friends,
really want to be alone
like
in a room
two?
With either. Yeah. If they could be my friend without ever saying any of the things that they normally say out loud.
They get more... woke as the series goes on,
just like we did, realizing that Dane Cook was maybe not
as
great as we thought he was in 2004.
I get your rankings, they make complete sense. I guess I kind of feel sad for Drama and Turtle because I want them to do better, but like if I was also doing the rankings, that'd probably be right around mine too.
Yeah, I mean, power rankings, really, like Jessica Alba number one.
Oh, absolutely.
Leighton Meester number two.
She was great in this, by the way. I know we kind of touched on that, but Alba was not only far and away the best actress and actor on the best
actor.
Well, man, no qualifier. I think she was the best performing person on the show.
She's the most seasoned.
She's great.
Number two, Johnny Drama. I think he's compared to such a good actor. I mean, and obviously Piven too is a good actor, but like,
yeah, Piven didn't shine in this episode
exactly all, like, and I think old Drama did second to Alba.
I agree.
Yeah,
who's number three?
I'm gonna go the Bizman.
Well, he's actually number two. Marvin?
Oh,
Marvin.
Ahead of Drama. I can understand that. He's good. He's very good.
Yeah, and then Drama's just, I mean, but Drama does, I don't know, I mean, I guess you can't blame someone for their problematicness retroactively, but
I mean, it is very, it's glaring.
It's glaring.
Where do we put the dealer? Car dealer.
Oh, three.
Yeah.
Jessica Alba, so. Marvin, car
dealer. He's memorable. Like, that's what everybody you do with those small appearances. Where we put Bud from Married with Children.
Bottom.
Well,
he's good for what turtle. Let me tell you something. For what he was asked to do, he nailed it.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, his two lines.
Yeah.
And then getting screamed at. Like, trauma.
Yeah.
Mm.
Did we finish the plot of this episode?
No. We cut. So, yeah. So they mention how much they don't want to go back to Queens and how life would be a nightmare if they lived how we live our lives
every single
day of the week.
Who's going back to Queens? You know, no one's going back to Queens.
This is supposed to be pro Queens, this show, because, like, you know, we can. But, like, they're never. I mean, actually, sometimes they do this. Sometimes they speak fondly of Queens, like it was great. But throughout the whole series, that's the worst case scenario is moving back. So if you love it that much, that shouldn't be.
Well, but it's also like their safety net, their comfort blanket. Yeah, they're like, we can always just go back to Queens.
I kind of wish when they, not to jump seasons ahead, but when they do go back for a little bit, I kind of always wish that would have been a season as opposed to
the Larry David thing,
like a couple two-parter. Episodes.
Yeah.
Curb Your Enthusiasm. Spend a year in New York.
Oh, absolutely.
That'd be great.
That would have been.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of
which, we will.
Oh, the Curb Your Enthusiasm podcast?
Well, no. We're not.
Okay.
Too many podcasts.
Yeah.
There's too many podcasts.
Josh went from wanting no podcasts to wanting every podcast.
We'll do a head on podcast. We'll do a Drive Me Crazy podcast.
Oh, yep. I actually would be. I'd like to guess on the Drive Me Crazy?
Drive Me Crazy.
Drive Me Crazy
podcast.
Yeah. We'll have a whole separate podcast about the music video.
Also, that was solid. One of Britney Spears' best.
He's in it.
Yeah.
He's in it.
Well,
Adrian's in that.
That whole, they wanted to change. Wait. Oh, it was a title. The movie was titled. It doesn't matter. Who cares? Never
mind. Oh, is this trivia?
Yes. The movie eventually had a different name, and then they changed it to because of the Britney Spears song.
Oh, interesting.
They were like, oh, we got this song. This girl's popular. Let's do it.
They nailed it.
I think Melissa Joan Hart was not on board.
Uh oh.
Why? What did she?
Whatever she wanted.
She wanted it to be
title.
Called it's Sabrina the Teenage Love Person.
I mean, that would have been a good marketing.
I would have watched that. I would watch that now.
Have you never seen Drive Me Crazy?
No, I've seen it.
Okay, very good.
It's great. Cool. I'd be glad to rewatch it. Anyway,
Joe, so well, we cut
Drive Me Crazy
the,
some more.
I've never seen it. I've seen like bits and pieces, and I've seen the music video like 100.
It's actually maybe not worth a rewatch. But if you're ever like sick, but like not really feeling, if you have like a light fever, it's a good movie.
I'm sick right now.
Oh, you should. Yeah, you should
watch it.
It's a good, like, light sick movie.
Mm-hmm.
Feel better, Emily.
Thank
you. I'm sick, I don't want to watch something new, though.
Oh, I get that.
Like, I need something comforting to me. I don't want that. It's not comforting to me.
I do understand.
It's comforting to you.
Yes, because I've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I'm sick, all I like to watch is things that are British.
Oh, I understand. Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's new or old. I love.
They do have a
Great British Baking Show.
Bunch
Luther.
Of,
Wide Range.
All of this is going to be cut, so it doesn't matter. There's a whole bunch of Monty Python stuff that they just added on.
Oh, I saw that they did that. I haven't watched any of it yet, but I'm very excited about it.
Well, because it's new to me. I've never got.
Oh, I had all the VHSs when I was a kid.
Yeah, I missed that era.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I wasn't alive. It was like the 1960s or 70s, right?
But it's hard to like watch it now.
VHS wasn't alive yet.
In 1993?
No, in...
83? VHS has been alive and thriving for a while.
No, when did Monty Python first air? I thought it was like the 70s.
Well,
oh, God, cut this if it's not right.
It is. I feel that's accurate.
Anyway, cut it anyway.
Something from your... can't imagine why anyone would listen to this conversation right now. And honestly, really for most of what we've been talking about. For me, not you guys. You guys have been great.
You've been great, too. We'll cut.
I mean, there's a bunch to cut.
Yeah. It'll be way too long if we did this.
There's good...
Like, ooh, let's talk about some of the good stuff right now. And keep this.
Let's recap the episode.
Yeah, let's have a recap of the recap.
Very beginning of the episode, Josh comes and starts bragging about his show right away.
Josh came swinging out of the gate, ready to talk about Josh.
Trying to sell himself.
Which, someone please buy Josh.
Who already know
to
him.
Dan, who will be the person that listens to this, who's already in the room.
Yeah.
Producer Dan.
I'm the producer.
Dan, what was your favorite part of this episode? Just from listening to us, describe it.
I gotta say, the successful party solicitation for those chicks on the road.
Controversial. Well, to be fair, that was actually pretty impressive that they decided to come, even though I understand why they came over, like, that Turtle did that at a red light, and because Turtle's not the best with women, good job.
But he didn't do it. Drama did.
When we're driving, it never works that way.
Yeah, we're always trying to get people to follow us home to noted have a swingers, party.
Emily and Dan.
Yeah. No, not to fuck, just to hang out. Oh. Mm. And then we'll go to dinner after, and we'll noted leave them
platonic
behind.
Platonic swingers.
Platonic swingers. Yeah, we're just looking.
Swinger. Do I say stingers?
I'm a bee.
Buzz, buzz, baby.
So the episode, they cut to. So they cut to the next day.
Yeah, they're all hanging out on the porch.
Yeah, they're all just chilling, getting some sun. And then Ari calls. Oh, no. Does Ari call?
Right. Yeah, Ari does, calls, yeah. But Vince is like, I don't want to take it. E, you take it. E takes it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He's like, cool, I'll tell him.
Yeah, I like that character beat, by the way. As we will eventually see that this happens throughout the series. But like Vince being like, I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah, and that's yeah. That's Vince's. That should be like Vince's slogan.
It really is.
I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to read this.
Oh, that's right. I know you're... Oh, wow. I forgot about this. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, Ari... well, they don't... Like, the... I forgot that it was Ari because they didn't cut to Ari talking to
right,
E,
right, yeah.
Which was out of the ordinary because they usually have an interaction.
But it's got to be Ari. It definitely is.
Yeah. So Ari tells E that Vince got a review in the New York Times and they called him the next Johnny Depp. And Vince reacts like he does not give a flying fuck.
Hold on. But everybody else is like, nice.
Yes. And to be... This is maybe the most insane part of not only this show, but of all television and maybe humanity.
Okay.
The New York Times would say this.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I guess it would make sense if, like, a Variety. I don't know why. I have nothing against Variety. But, like, if a Variety was, like, said this. Or, like, E! Online, you know?
It's that a classic LA sense. Misunderstanding MTV of news. What yeah. happens yeah, in yeah. New York.
This would be a very... that would make perfect sense.
Yeah.
New York Times saying this, from what all intents and purposes, a teen action movie, that this handsome...
Commercial it, actor.
Yes. Yeah. Is the next Johnny Depp was right. mind-boggling.
Funnily enough, a phrase that would have a much more damning connotation
yeah.
today.
Yeah. More like probably Pittman is the next.
If Depp the New that. York Times said that you were the next Johnny Depp today,
I would, yeah.
You'd be like, oh.
I'd be pumped the New York Times is talking about me.
Yeah,
not
I mean,
in that context, but
in
still
fairness,
be
I'd
it.
Be like, nice.
Also, kind of crazy. I love that Vince no-sells it completely
yeah.
because that's also in character, even though like he is. You can tell that the bad reviews hurt him. Like, I love, like, that's exactly how he would react to that. Like, oh, yeah. I don't care, even though, like, he deep down does, obviously.
But he reacts yeah. to it by being like, let's go look at that house, kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Like, he doesn't have an emotional visual reaction, but, like,
yes.
it's a very sly reaction. It's like...
You know the human spirit. You're the anti-Joe.
Yeah.
No, you get humans.
I studied acting in college, so,
okay.
you know, I just get
I got
people.
It. I got the subtlety of what he was... Getting across.
Yes. Were you wondering why they were all hanging out before dinner?
Yeah, why were they all... no, that doesn't happen. I don't think that happens at all. Do people do that? Do
yeah.
people hang out?
People just hang, like, oh. you know.
I mean, usually they record a podcast when they
have
do,
done
but...
That?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Yeah, so the episode ends on that. So, yeah, Head-On's getting good reviews and...
Mixed reviews, really. But yeah, the New York yeah, Times yeah. is the
mixed
definitive
reviews.
Voice.
Yeah.
Although, they're, like, out of their depth. Like, they don't usually... Like, the New York Times...
Kind of a surprise that the New York Times would review this at all.
Are they reviewing I Know What You Did Last Summer? Because I feel like that's the cinematic
equivalent. Don't they review everything?
I thought, like...
They do, like, smatterings.
Movies. Yeah. Not, like, every movie, though.
No,
right?
Well, every now and then they'll just review something like maybe. Magic Mike 2 or whatever. Magic Mike XXL, please.
Did they say Channing Tatum was the next Johnny Depp? Channing Tatum is very good.
He's so. Very good.
Yeah.
I don't know what they said. But, like, Roxane Gay did that. I don't think that was the New York Times, but Roxane Gay did that really cool review of Magic Mike XXL. You guys read that, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's great. You should check it out.
Oh, what else are we... Joe, what are you suggesting everyone read? We have Emily's suggestion.
Yeah, we'll end this with book yeah. club and yeah. then reviewing the episode.
I'm reading currently Pet Sematary by Stephen King. Have you heard of it? Or
yeah,
do you know Stephen King?
Yeah,
okay. I am unfamiliar.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's a little known
main
author.
Writer.
He writes like some spooky tales.
I would suggest everyone read Paul Tompkins' old American Idol recaps on Vulture. They're very
Ooh,
funny. That's actually a real recommendation. They're
yeah.
very funny.
I was not joking about the Roxane Gay.
Oh yeah, I know. Joe took it to a bit.
What?
He didn't realize what the humans were doing.
No.
He just read it.
What do you mean?
Huh? I was whispering. You didn't hear
Everybody
that.
Be nice to Joe.
Oh, no, I love... Oh, is this anti-Joe? I don't mean that to be anti-Joe. I love Joe DiBella. I am president of the Joe DiBella fan club.
We could start that trend in this where...
I just beat up on Joe.
Where I don't understand human interaction.
I would say that is probably something if theoretically... That's a fun thing
that's
to continue. Probably,
yeah. I mean, it's also pretty accurate. So.
So did everyone have a favorite or least favorite part of the episode?
My favorite was you walked out on this earlier, but when I was discussing it, because you felt it was, I guess, too stupid. But I enjoyed the little moment of friendship. I enjoyed it. I'm just kidding about that. I enjoyed the little moment of friendship when the boys just arrived at the party. And Turtle went to go hit on a girl, which, you know, as Turtle does. Mm-hmm. And he goes, get me a drink. And Eric goes, what would you like? And he yells off screen, whiskey. And Eric's like, all right, I'll give him a whiskey. That moment rung
That's
true
nice.
To me.
That's a nice human
in
thing. A,
yeah, in a very sometimes...
Incredibly realistic.
Yeah, incredibly unrealistic world. I like that.
Yeah. My favorite was... I think this is clear, but the soy milk in the eggs.
Yeah.
Finding out that Vinny is lactose intolerant really helped me connect to this story personally. Mm. Everything else was terrible. No, it was all right, but that part was the best. And Jessica Alba's reaction to Ari was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Top notch.
Pretty much everything Alba did was A+.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked when the boys were trying to hook up E with Emily and, you know... They weren't as vulgar about it as they normally are.
Yeah, that was cute for them.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah. They tamed it down.
They did.
So. Mostly because I feel like it was because Vinny did it. Like if Turtle or Drama had been the instigator, it would have been so much filthier.
Yeah, if Vinny wasn't there, they're on their best behavior when Vinny's around and when they're in early episodes anyway, when they're in Ari's office. But mm-hmm. when Vinny's not around, those two, they would have gone. They would have.
Woof, woof.
They would have went to the dog pound.
So what do we how do we want to review this one?
Do you want to give it a 1 out of 10 hug it out bitch? 1 out of 5?
1 out of 10.
How many
hug it
out bitches?
What is this?
This is our review. So
do you as your first guest?
Go on.
Are we at the pointers territory? Not pointers, but the what to tell future guests?
What do you
portion
mean?
Of the evening?
You're looking to give some advice
to
our future guests?
Future guests?
No, I wouldn't. No, not that at all. Don't do it. But I'm just saying, I literally sat down and you guys just started talking about Entourage. And so I, for the most part of this, of the whole episode was like, hey, what is happening right now? And
you don't understand the concept of this.
You didn't understand that we asked you to come over to talk about Entourage, which we specifically stated and told you what episode to watch, and that we put microphones.
I got a text yesterday being like, hey, you still on for this Entourage podcast? I was like, yes. Went through my phone and emails to see if there was any description or explanation of this other than we might be doing an Entourage podcast. All I'm saying is maybe tell... Like so, say
we
you have,
assume that we, you understand what's going on with us at all times.
Yeah, we explained this. We said we're going.
We're
be
in touch all the time.
Sat down and started the intro.
Yeah.
You asked. We happened. Said it's a recap show.
All right,
that's what this show is. Why would we not?
What else did you want to
know
about
there were
it?
Ads? If there were pot,
there's no
breaks,
ads.
I don't know. What you guys
are you nuts?
I don't know what you guys are up to in your day to day.
You think we sold ads for this?
Not yet.
We're like fictitious ads.
We're gonna sell it based on your funny jokes.
You should have pauses. We can add ads
mm-hmm.
and monetize this, guys.
We'll just cut around it.
I mean, that's why I'm doing these.
We're in this
ads.
For the money.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing these like Amazon
get
little drops.
Producer Dan to get his company involved. He'll sell some ad space.
We asked. He said no.
Okay. Well.
But yeah. He said, well, what he said was, call me when you go viral.
Yeah.
Mm.
That was a very Ari move.
Yeah. He said, give it Bottom a season line. And we'll see.
That's going to be my response when you guys ask me back. I did love this, though. And are we still recording? What's happening again?
We're trying to rank the episode 1 out of 10 something.
So we're going to rank the episode... 1 out of 10 hug it out bitches. So
Did you guys come up with that off the top of your head, or was this happened in the first episode?
We just made that up right now.
Okay. Ooh, that's good.
The first one, the first episode we did out of flip phones, because there were a lot of really great flip phones in the first episode.
Yeah. Everybody was on a flip phone throughout the entire
episode. I'll listen to the first episode.
Cool.
I will not listen to this one, because I don't like listening to myself.
That's fair.
But I will listen to future episodes, too.
Okay. Oh, thanks, Josh.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but you'll be on so many of them. How will you...
What was the question again that we were...
How many hug it out bitches... out of 10,
okay.
Are we going to rank this?
Does the guests go first, or do the hosts go first?
You could go first. The guests can go first.
Yeah. Okay. Out of hugging, what were the rank? What were the ones for the first one? Actually, I don't want to know that, because I will...
10 is high, 1 is low.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Like in numerical order.
Okay, yes.
Do you know how numbers work, Josh?
Yeah, I know. Well, I know the basic principle of numbers, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so 10 is the highest. So I'll go 6.
Okay.
Hug 'em out. Bitches.
Okay.
All
right. Emily?
Like 2.5. Ooh. This was not a great episode for me.
Ooh.
I didn't think that this was a strong episode. I think it had some nice moments, but relative to the pilot...
Okay, so you know 2 is low, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
2 is very low. Yeah. I mean,
is that too low?
No. I was.
Hey, if that's your review.
I was doing the numbers.
Well, I figured it'll average out a little. I wanted to lowball it because I wanted it. If he's giving it a 6, I'll give it a 3. I'll bump it up to 3 because
I'm gonna take mine down to a 5.5.
Okay.
That's I was gonna go 4.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I hated this episode.
It was not a good episode.
Well, here's the thing: there's no bad episode of Entourage. Only bad people. So.
That's true. Yeah, I am a bad person. And I didn't, I didn't understand a lot of the human interaction within the show. And,
I know your first inclination was 5.5, but now that you understand the episode, since Emily and I explained it to you, maybe you want to change it.
No, it's still 5.5.
Okay. Yeah.
Wait, no, yours was 4. Yours
oh, was yeah, 5. Yeah. I'm 4, yeah.
Oh, so do you want to change it to 5.5?
No, I want to go, I might even go lower.
I checked, as it is right now, the average Hug It Out Bitches for this episode would be 4.167.
What is that from?
Out of 10. That's the average between three.
Then in the future, you should have people write it down, because I feel you guys went lower to make me look a fool.
No, I was always, I was going to give it lower, but you inspired me to go higher a little bit, in part because I realized, and I'm going to say the opposite of what I said yesterday, basically, which is I want room for it to go below this. Like, if there's a worse episode, there will be.
This episode, though, nothing happened.
Nothing happens. Like, it ended, and I was like, oh, huh.
I would have rather seen... because at the end of episode 1, they go to their high school reunion in Queens.
Which, and
I
would have rather loved to see.
Oh, yeah, they should have done a mini episode on that, or a whole one. It's only 20 minutes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That should have been episode 2, not this. Like, right. Vin got a bad review. Like, oh, okay.
So we're averaging out to 4.167 Hug It Out Bitches for this episode.
What was last episode?
The last episode was 7.5 flip phones.
Yeah, we both had 7.5.
We broke the flip phone to make 7.5.
Who went first? There's no way you both came up with that separately.
What do you mean? Came up with what?
You both gave it a 7.5 independently?
No, I think I said an 8 first, and he said
seven.
A 7.5, and I said, you know what? I agree with you, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's a real system going here.
Yeah, we're going to rank. We're going to keep track of this. We're going to make a big spreadsheet of the episodes and rank them.
Cool.
All right, so that was episode 2 of Entourage to Review.
Are you going to... Also, you should thank your guests, too.
Oh, well, I'm getting to that.
Okay, yeah. I'll just give you a pointer.
So needy. So needy for the thanks and the love.
Sundance's own decider.com writer, Hollywood celebrity... Josh Sirokach, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not how you say my last name. It's Sirokach.
Sirokach. Josh, do you have anything you would like to plug or promote in any way anybody who might be listening?
Yes. www.imdb.com/entourage.
Oh, okay.
That's the website for Entourage. Take a look at it.
Cool.
All right.
Yeah, and nothing personal?
You know, no, it's been a bit of a dry period in my life, romantically, professionally.
Oh, okay. So you want to plug your Bumble profile
Queens.
Single, ladies and gentlemen.
If you live in Queens and you are between the age of 27 and 39 or whatever it is.
39? Ooh.
I'm 36.
Oh, right. That's true.
Wow.
Yeah.
27. Ooh.
I feel that's a normal range.
I'm 27.
You're older than that.
No, I'm... Oh, yes, I am. I'm 28. I forgot how old.
It's kind of crazy. We're 8 years apart, though.
I'm 29.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all right.
Yeah, don't make me feel
weird. I'm so sorry. I thought I was 27 for a second there.
Actually, you know what? If you're really between the age of 20 and 60, and you live in...
Queens.
New York area.
Any of the five boroughs.
How's New Haven?
Oh, no. You know what? Yeah, actually, Joe's probably right. Like, it's even difficult dating someone in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know the game.
I'm married. Don't at me.
This was great, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and you can check out your writing. Right?
Decider.com is where I work, yes. And my Twitter.
Is that my name.
So
how do you Twitter. Spell that?
Just like you'll be able to find it.
We'll put it in the links this. We'll put like in the description.
Do you honestly think anyone's going to listen to this and hear the things I had to say? Like, I want to check out more of this guy's thoughts.
Yeah, maybe.
If you do, that's very nice of you. Just go to Google. You're a smart person. You'll figure it out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Hit that big subscribe button.
Yeah, make sure
if there's a thumbs up on whatever platform you're on, hit that too.
How are you guys gonna promote this?
Carefully.
Twitter.
Well, as long as you have a plan.
Social media. And we're buying a billboard.
Yeah.
Oh.
In Times Square.
Oh, you should do it in Queens.
Interesting.
Yeah. You guys have been great. Thank you so much for having me on, honestly. If it's the one legitimate thing I say today, I had fun, and you guys are very funny, and
you're
friends.
You.
Oh, thanks so much
you're
for being
kind.
Here.
Yeah.
You're the co-host of this podcast.
You're
going to be here every week, and we're looking forward to that.
It was nice of you guys to compliment me after I complimented you.
You're so funny and talented and smart. And pretty.
Oh, well, thank you.
And.
Oh, you can, yeah, continue. You can't think of one other nice trait about me? That's okay.
I got nothing else.
What else did I say? Oh, funny. You're funny. Did I say funny? You're humorous? You're wry?
Humorless?
I said humorous.
That's probably correct.
Thanks, so guys. Make sure to rate and subscribe, please, on iTunes. And yeah, we're going to be doing another one next week.
Yeah, watch Entourage along with us.
Yeah. Entourage is on HBO Go and Amazon Prime. Episode 3 is next week.
And if people have viewer questions, should they send them to you? Should you do that too?
If you do have questions or comments.
Email them to info@whitehouse.gov.
Yeah. or you hit us up on Twitter. Emily, what's your Twitter?
M Dunkaroo, EMDUNCAROO.
Cool. And I'm at @Joe_Dibella, DIBELLA.
That was too cool to spell mine out. Like Vince.
Ooh.
Again.
They'll find you.
They'll find me.
They'll find
they'll
you.
They'll track you down.
You guys follow me. Guys, if you really want to follow me on Twitter, go to Joe DiBella's page. Go to following.
Yeah, just go to my likes.
Just search for people named Josh. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And that's it for this week's episode.
I like that we do like the Kool-Aid Man more than like the theme song.
Oh, yeah. We should work on our oh yes.
We'll work on our oh yes.
Yeah.
Guys, you have it down. I think it's really funny.